All right, all right. Let's get into the Bible. Because it's the book for me, I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. All right, here's what we're going to do. Ready? I want to invite you to turn to the sixth book in the Bible. So it goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua chapter 2, okay? Sixth book in the Old Testament. So turn to Joshua chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, then I want to welcome you to the very first service here at New Life, because anybody that calls New Life their home and Jesus Lord brings their Bible to church. Amen. All right? You got Joshua 2? Also, do me a favor, turn to the end of the Bible, not the very last book, but one of the last books. I don't know if it's about the sixth or seventh last book. It's like Revelation, then 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, 2 Peter, Jude, 1 Peter, the book of Hebrews chapter 11, okay? Joshua chapter 2, got it? And then all the way toward the end, Hebrews chapter 11. And let me kind of tell you where we're going. We're going to start in Joshua chapter 2. We're going to read most of Joshua chapter 2. Probably in roughly about 20 minutes from now, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 to read a couple verses. And then after we read Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to go back to Joshua chapter 2. Sound good? Yeah. I said, does it sound good? Yeah. All right, cool. By the way, everybody, look at me after you find those two passages and look right in my eyes. I want to, again, thank you for being here each and every Sunday. Let me tell you that as I preach the gospel, look into my eyes, would you? As I preach the gospel, do you know that I have a responsibility before God? Do you know that? Okay, and my responsibility is to pray all week, to prepare all week, to preach with passion, and that's my responsibility. Your responsibility is to engage in the sermon. And how you can do that is by sitting forward, leaning into what God's going to say today, because it's not me that's speaking. God's going to use me as a mouthpiece to get his word across. So I'm nothing. Honestly, I'm nothing. It's the message that we're excited about. Your job is to engage. It's really cool when you say amen or shout or stand up or clap. It makes me feel like people are awake. And the more that you do that, the shorter the sermon is. Okay. God bless you. Have a good day. You're dismissed. Thank you. No, just kidding. So you can stand up, you can shout, you can clap, you can just be sensitive. Don't draw attention to yourself, but let's engage in the message. And because it really does make a difference for the preacher preaching when the audience is engaged, right? And otherwise, I feel like I'm like in a UFC cage, in a 5-round fight against like Conor McGregor or something. And I've been to churches like that, and you're just like preaching your heart out, and people are just like, and that's not this place, okay? Turn to somebody and say, that's not this place. And so I want to do my job, and I would love for you to do your job. And how many know this is a holy moment? We're opening up a holy book, and God's going to speak to us today. You believe that? So God, we just pray that you would open up our hearts, and we set aside all distractions physically, emotionally, psychologically, mentally, that we could hear your word, that we could walk out of this building totally different than how we came in. Do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that your word will not return void. So God, I pray that it would accomplish that which you've set it to accomplish in our hearts. In Jesus' name, we want to be doers of the word and all that God's people said. Amen, amen. All right, good, excellent, excellent. So if you haven't been to church in a while, for whatever reason, this is week number 4. We're wrapping up the series today. That's what I was looking for right there. I was looking for, but you guys were so slow, but let's give you another run at it. We're wrapping up the series today. I know, it's been sad, but week number 4 and the final installment of our series called Unsafe, and we're looking at different people in the Bible, actually obscure people in the Bible that did some radical things for God, took a risk for God, and kind of went out of their comfort zone to do something powerful for Jesus. By the way, does anybody want to live that kind of life? I want to do that. And good, 11 people raise their hand. That's great. Awesome. And but for the rest of us, do you want to live that kind of life, just like unsaved? God, whatever you call me to do, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Yes, yes. I'm going to go all in for Jesus. That's it. And so today we're looking at a character. Her name is Rahab. Everyone say Rahab. Yeah. And I was telling the last service in 30 years, actually in January of this next year, my wife and I will be have been in full-time ministry for 30 years. 8 years. Thank you. Thank you. 8 years as youth pastors, 22 years at this church, 32 years. We just celebrated 30-year anniversary, and now 30 years in ministry. And we're still going strong, and I want to finish strong, and we want to finish strong for the glory of God. And I've seen so many of my friends that went to Bible college with divorced, not in ministry, and we want to finish strong. How about you? How about you? So anyhow, I was saying that to say in 30 years, I've never Steve, what are you doing, man? You never preached on Rahab, and it's such a cool story in the book of Joshua chapter 2, and what have I been doing for the last 30 years? How could you miss such an awesome, awesome story? And so I want to dive into Joshua chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 11, and I believe God's going to speak an awesome word. Amen. All right, ready? So I'm going to give you 3 points out of Joshua chapter 2 and some other passages, and I want you to write down the first point, and then I'll give you some biblical basis for the first point. Is that okay? Write this down. Rahab, number one, she had a shameful past. Shameful is the word. Shame. I could have went with sketchy. I could have went with sordid. What did I choose? Shameful. So, ready to read? Yeah. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Clear my throat. Here we go. Just say go. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly... Every time you read the Bible, you don't have to post it on Instagram. Every time you give money, you don't have to post about it. You don't have to tell anyone. Every time you do your devotions, it's okay if sometimes it's secretly. You don't have to post every achievement of your kids, every accomplishment that all of God's people said. You don't have to. In fact, there are some people you don't want to tell them your dreams and your goals because they're haters. And so, Joshua secretly sent two spies from Wow. Should I even attempt to pronounce that word? I'm going to go with the long I. Let's go with Shittim. Everyone say Shittim. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a named Rahab and stayed there. Look at me. Why would you go to the house of a prostitute? I guess all the Airbnbs were booked or something that weekend. And no Hilton, no Homewood Suites, no even like Motel 6, nothing. I couldn't stay at a friend's house. We had to stay at a prostitute's house. This is so cool because, ready for this? God uses who he wants to use. So good. We can just like really end the sermon right there that God, like, don't put people in boxes. He uses whoever he wants to use, and he uses a prostitute. And I love this. Joshua the son of Nun secretly sent, how many spies? I don't know if you've ever read the Bible cover to cover, but if you've ever read the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, remember when Moses was spying out the promised land and he sent out how many spies initially? 12, remember that? And 12 spies went out to check out the land and 10 of them came back with a really bad report. And they're like, oh, the giants are huge. And there's no way we can defeat them. And there's no way we're going to find success. And then 2 guys come back and they're like, it's awesome, man. They got big old strawberries there and they got amazing tortillas there. And it's amazing. And with God on our side, we can do anything. And 10 are like, there's no way, man. The giants are huge. And I've always wondered this question, like, because they came back and they said, like, in our own eyes, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. But I want to know this, like, why were you comparing yourself to them when you should have been comparing them to your God? And so anyhow, check out 2 of the ones that came back with a good report were Joshua and Caleb. Now Joshua is sending out 2 spies. In other words, he learned from the first mistake. And here it is, right? You can't ask everybody's opinion. At this stage and age in my life, I'm not in elementary school. I don't need to have a big squad. I don't need to have a crew, a whole team of people that believe in me. Check it out. They just had 2. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I just need two. I don't need a bunch of people agreeing with me. I don't need a team of people. I don't need 70 or 100 or 4,000 people. I just need 2. Isn't it interesting? Jesus sent out the disciples 2 by 2. And the last time I read Psalm 23, at the very end it says, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hey, if I got goodness and I got mercy, that's all I need is 2. I don't need to have 5,000 Instagram followers. I just need 2. I just need the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I just need 2. I just need the joy of God. Steve, settle down. It's just the intro. Settle down. I just need 2. I learned that early on in ministry. If you get too many opinions, Hey, what do you think? How do you think we should do worship? How do you think we should do this? Too many opinions. I just need two. Come on, turn to your neighbor on both sides of you and tell them, I just need two. I just need two. I don't need a ton of people. I just need two. So they enter the house of a prostitute named Rahab. Why? Because God uses who he wants to use, and sometimes the plan of God and the purposes of God is different than our plan and our purpose. But really, really? God's going to use somebody with a shady, shameful, sordid reputation? She was a prostitute, a hooker? Can I talk just for a second about reputation? Is it okay if I do that? I think, just generally speaking, I think we spend too much time trying to get a lot of people to agree with us, like us, follow us on Instagram. We post too many things on social media because we want people to like our outfit, like our family, like our, you fill in the blank. We're too worried about what other people think. I need more followers. I need more likes. I need more this. I need more that. And here's what I discovered early on in ministry about my reputation. My reputation is just what everybody in the room thinks about me. Let me just say that it's really not that important. In fact, I used to think if I can say the right thing and do the right thing, then my reputation would be secure. And I learned really I could say the right thing, think the right thing, and do the right thing, and still people could mar my reputation. True or false? True or false? And I just think sometimes we spend too much time to protect our reputation. In fact, I heard somebody say that early on in my life. They said, you got to protect your reputation because you only get one. I used to believe that. I don't believe that anymore. Because I think we have several reputations, don't you? As many reputations as we have relationships. Because, isn't this true? Sometimes we're different at work than we are here. And not necessarily like a bad thing, but we're in here dancing around, jumping, but then at work, we're quiet or we don't say a whole lot. So people at work think we're really quiet. Well, because I don't really have a lot in common with you, and I don't really like you, and I don't really want to talk to you, and so I, sorry. So I don't feel like I want to, but here, I come here, and it's different. And so I got a reputation at work. I got a reputation at church. I got a reputation at the gym. Personally, I have a reputation at the gym. I go to they call me preacher. And so I got a reputation when I go to the gym. If you're playing in the church softball league, I mean, I used to think church softball league, like everybody loved the Lord and they were Christians. Like, oh man. And you got a reputation at the gym or the softball, or you got a reputation in your family, true? I can't control, like, because I'm in different environments and I got as many relationships. Again, I have that many reputations. And I remember the Lord saying to me early on, Steve, don't worry about your reputation. I'll take care of that. What you need to worry about is your integrity. Yeah. Reputation is what other people think about you, view you. Your character is who you are. So check it out. Focus on your character, focus on integrity, and let the chips fall where they may as it relates to your reputation. Because it's funny, you get on like Instagram, and like a 19-year-old kid puts his profile, life coach. Who you been coaching for 19 years? You haven't lived long enough to coach me at all. You got to get in the game yourself before you tell me how to do marriage. Life coach. 20 years old. I'm a life coach. Profile. Actor. Oh, because you played in Greece at your high school play. You're an actor all of a sudden now. Right? You know what I'm talking about? And why? Because we're so concerned about building a reputation. And again, early on in ministry, I just heard the Lord say, don't worry about your reputation, Steve. Focus on character. Focus on integrity. How do you do that? How do you do that? Do the right thing over and over and over again. Say the right thing over and over and over and over again. Ready? Ready? You're not ready for this. Be on time at church and work over and over and over and over and over again. Tell the truth over and over and over and over and over again. Don't lie over and over and over and over and over again. Steward your money correctly over and over and over and over again. Don't cheat on your taxes year after year after year after year after year. Be honest over and over. Isn't that what God did with us, by the way? How did God build his reputation? He was faithful over and over and over and over again. He was good over and over and over and over again. He forgave me of the same sin that I committed yesterday over and over and over and over and over again. And because of that, I worship him over and over and over and over and over again. So stop worrying about your reputation. Everybody has an opinion. Can't change that. You can't convince people things about you that are not true or untrue. Don't worry, just worry about your character. And having talked about character and reputation, check this out. Don't let anybody in your life build a reputation about God for you. People can say all things, well, I think God this. I don't understand. It's okay. But listen, God saved me. God healed me. God delivered me. God empowered me. God anointed me. God called me. I don't know about you. I just know for the last 50-something years, God has been good to me. Can somebody put their hands together and give God praise? So I'm not going to take a survey at the gym about what do you think about God? I just know this. At the age of 19, God radically saved my life. And because of that, he has a spotless reputation. But I'm just amazed in the text how God would choose a prostitute. His ways aren't our ways, right? Check out verse 15. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of what? The city wall. So back then, there was the cities were walled, right? Because it would prevent attacks from opposing armies. And there would be a gate at the city walls. And so her house was like the very first, it was actually built into the city wall. I'll talk more about that in a second. So right when the men would come through the city gate at night for the red light district, her house was like the first house that they would encounter. The prostitute. God's going to use a prostitute, a shady, sketchy, sinful prostitute. Yeah. And here's what the enemy does. Listen, what the enemy wants to do is beat you and I up about our past and create shame. That's what happened in the garden, right? They both, Adam and Eve, were naked, just enjoying life, enjoying the surroundings. And then they partook of the apple and sin entered into the human race. And what's the first thing they did? They covered themselves. And God's like, what are you doing? Well, we're naked and we're ashamed, and so we need to cover ourselves. And here's what God said. God said, who told you that you were naked? Well, they were shameful, so they wanted to cover up. And God said, who told you you were naked? I want to ask you a question. Who told you that you would never amount to anything? Who told you that you would always be fill in the blank? Who told you you'd be a loser? Who told you that you were dumb? Who told you that you would never be used by God? Who told you that you could never be successful in this life? I want to know who told you. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's the voice of the accuser of the brethren. And God, not only God saved Rahab, we're going to see that, but God used her in a powerful way. So number one, her shameful past. Second thing, right? The second thing. Now number two, a surprising, here comes kind of a theological, religious word, but a surprising pardon. Someone say pardon. The word pardon means to show mercy or to show, it's the act of forgiveness. So she receives a surprising one. Why? Because she's a prostitute. She's a lady of the night. She's a call girl. There's other words that I'd like to use, but we can't use in church. She's got a shameful, sordid past. You ready to read the Bible here? Verses 2 through 6. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman who had taken the two men up and hidden them. I mean, she was pretty good at hiding guys. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. Lie. Not only is she a prostitute, liar. Yeah, they come to me. I didn't know. Verse 5, at dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. Lie. I don't know which way they went. Yeah, because they didn't go anywhere. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. That's not going to happen. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So, she has a shameful past, but check out this incredible pardon. So she hides the spies. So not only do we have a prostitute, we have a lying one. Let's pick up the text in verse 7. So the men sent out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord, someone say the Lord, has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Let me just stop this. I didn't say this in the first service. Check this out. 40 years earlier, the Israelites were running from the people who in verse 9 now are afraid of them. Do you hear what I said? That 40 years earlier, they were chasing the Israelites. The Israelites were afraid of them, and now the enemies are now afraid of the Israelites. Could it be that you already have it? Do you know this? You have a defeated enemy. You have a defeated foe. Why are we running from greater is he that's in us, Jesus, than he that's in the world? Could it be that we're running from something that's already defeated? That's another sermon for another time. But anyhow, so in verse 9, she says, Lord, verse 10, we have heard how the Lord, verse 9, Lord, verse 10, Lord, had dried up the water of the Red Sea. That was 40 years ago. For you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites, east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God, verse 9, Lord, verse 10, Lord, verse 11, Lord your God, he is God in heaven, above and on earth. Isn't that great? She says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have showed kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Here it is. Please watch out for my peeps is what she's saying. This is such an awesome story because in verse 9, 10, and 11, she says, Lord, 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 your God is the Lord of heaven and of earth. Here's the good news. Ready? Here's the theme of the passage. If God can save Rahab, God can save me. If God can use Rahab, a prostitute, God can use me. Listen, in spite of my past performance, in spite of my sin, in spite of my shameful life, in spite of all the faults and mistakes and failures that I've ever committed, in spite of all that, God's love and grace can be my portion. You know what? I don't know if this is every church, but most churches, I've discovered this about a lot of churches. We put people in categories. Yeah. Somebody comes into the church, like they're all tatted out everywhere and they got tats all over the place. And oh man, they're really messed up. God can never use that. Oh really? God can never use that person. Is that, you're gonna put them in that category? God can use anybody. The point of the story is that God can use and save anyone. We have to stop putting people in categories. Hallelujah. Had an abortion. Used to be a prostitute. What, fill in the blank, adultery, divorce. There's no categories in Christ. There's either Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. We're all one in the body of Christ. So this is so cool because it just proved we don't have to like get our act together before God can use me. You have to hear this. It wasn't like she used to be a prostitute, now she's a prophet, and then God says, I'm gonna use you. No, no, presently. She's a prostitute. This just blows our, how does that fit into your cute, nifty theological framework? That God is using a present prostitute to fulfill his plan and purpose. That's so hopeful for me because God can use anyone regardless of your past. Please, please stop putting people in categories. Yeah, my dad, my uncle, there's no way they would ever get saved. I thought that about my dad and he got saved. Stop putting people in categories. So I got one of my friends here. We play racquetball together, Danny, and people know that I'm a preacher at the gym, and I've had a lot of people. So what's your church like? It's like a white church? I'm like, yeah. Somebody else might say, is it like Hispanic church? Yep. Is it a black church? Yep. Asian? Yep. Is it like conservative? And that's the only, I'm like, not really, but. And then I hear like, is it spirit-filled? And we're like, yeah. And is there like old people there? Yep. Young people? Yep, young people. And Raider fans? Yeah. Dallas Cowboy fans? Yep. We have all kinds of different fans. And hey, and do you guys have like business people? Yep. You got, and how about like, yeah, we got gangbangers too and everyone in between. And hey, here it is. Stop putting our church in a category. We don't fit in any category. Hey, do you have people that wear ties? Yeah. Do you have people that wear shorts? Yes. Yeah. We got, it's like United Nations in here. Stop putting people and churches in categories. Hey, God loves to bust out of categories. So she has a shameful past, and here comes the unbelievable pardon that God gives her. How many of you ever, you got to January 1st, you're like, oh, I just haven't read the Bible, and I got to start reading the Bible, and I've done such a bad job at reading the Bible. And somebody told you, hey, start reading in Matthew chapter 1. I'm like, all right. You open up January 1st, Matthew chapter 1. Have you ever read that chapter? So-and-so begot, so-and-so that 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 begot. I'm like, can we just like skip over that and get to verse 16 when it says, and Jacob had a son, Joseph, and Joseph and Mary had a son. His name was Jesus. Like, can we just skip over like the first begat, 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 begat? How many have ever felt like that? How many have ever skipped over? Come on. God is my witness. I've done it many times. Just go from verse 1 to 16 and skip over all the garbage. Check this out. Sometimes God wants to speak in the places we want to skip over. And I'll prove it to you in verse 5 and 6 of Matthew chapter 1. So on January 1st, when you want to skip over it, don't. Because here's what it says. Salmon, this is not Salmon, this is Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was who? Whose mother was? The father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. So you got 14 generations to David, right? And then you got another 14 generations from King David to who? Verse 16, Jesus. Hey, could it be possible that when you go to the genealogy, the lineage of Jesus Christ, you first have to go to Rahab? You gotta go through Rahab, the prostitute, to get to Jesus 28 generations later? Hey, God uses who he wants to use. God saves who he wants to save. I love it. Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So awesome. Now, I probably would have never preached the whole message on Rahab if she was just mentioned in Joshua. And I would have been like borderline because she was only found in Matthew. But then I was reading this week, and not only is she in Matthew, she's in two other places. Remember I told you to turn to Hebrews? Now is the time. Where's that posted at? You got it? This is amazing. Hebrews chapter 1. Remember, we're going back to Joshua 2. Don't get too comfy. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm not going to tell you what verse because I want to tell you this verse. If you've ever read your Bible, you know that Hebrews chapter 11, look at me real quick. It's called the heroes of faith. It's like you grew up in Sunday school, right? Like Samson and all these amazing, Paul, the apostle Paul and Daniel. It's a list of all the people that are in the heroes of faith. Ready? So you got it? You got that? Understand? Check out Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. And I'm like, what? All of God's people said, what? Come on, everybody on board. Ready? Kind of in that weird falsetto voice that I just made. Falsetto. And all God's people said, I know, I was like, oh, wasn't Rahab the prostitute by faith? I don't have time to talk about David and Samson and Gideon. Hold. You don't have time to talk about David? You don't have time to talk about the greatest king that Israel ever knew. You don't have time. Who took down the giant? You don't have time to talk about David. You don't have time to talk about the guy that wrote 73 of the 150 Psalms. You ran out of time talking about David? You don't have time to talk about Samuel, the greatest Old Testament prophet that ever lived. No time for that. You don't have any time to talk about Abraham. He was the father of many. You ran out of time. But you have the time to talk about Rahab the prostitute? Yeah, because God chooses people that you and I would never choose. 1 Corinthians, it says that God chooses the foolish, simple things of the world to confound the wise. So here she shows up in the hall of faith. I know, but think about her past. Think about all the men she slept with. Think about her sketchy reputation. God says, yep, but she's a hero of the faith. It's like you read Hebrews 11, it's like hero, 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 harlot, hero, harlot, hero, harlot. Like it's all filled with a bunch of heroes that were harlots, maybe not physically, but I mean, we're all harlots spiritually. Shameful past, really, it's a surprising pardon. I got a $100 bill. I mean, this money has a lot of value, right? What happens if I take the $100 bill and I just like crumpled it up? Still have value? You sure? What if I threw it on the ground? I'm just like, stepped on it. Does the $100 bill have value? What happens if I spit on the $100 bill? Still have value? What if I'm not going to do it because it's not mine. What if I rip the $100 bill and as long as I tape it back together, I can take it to the bank and it still has value. And I just wonder if anybody in the room has been crumbled, crushed, stepped on, or spit on, and you feel like you don't have value, and in the eyes of God, you have tremendous value. Doesn't matter what your sordid past looks like. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you got value, you have value, you have value. No, I'm not, by the way, I'm not giving out the money. Just relax there, settle down. And then here's the third thing I discovered in the passage is a sweeping promise. A sweeping promise. Check out we back in Joshua chapter 2. You back in Joshua? You're like, I am after I fill in the blank. Okay. You got chapter 2, verse 12. Joshua chapter 2, verse 12. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show, come on, say it out loud, show to my family because I have shown kindness to you. The Hebrew word is chesed. Everyone say, but you got to do it with like the Hebrew chesed. Excellent. Here's what chesed means. I think we have a definition of chesed. I don't know if it's coming on the screen or not. No. Yes. Here it is. Ready? Chesed is a legal agreement that God makes with people to, come on, key word is to what? Have you ever been outside? It's raining like really, really hard. You get out of your car, but you pull up an umbrella. Question, is it still raining? But it's just not raining on. So here's what Rahab's saying. Because their judgment's coming, right? So Joshua's coming back with his army, and we're going to find out, ready? Four chapters later in Joshua chapter 6, we're going to see that the walls come down. She said, hey, when you come back, please show chesed to me. Please make sure that I'm covered. I really need to say this. Do you know that there's coming judgment one day? Like Jesus is coming back, and if you're not on his team... See, we always talk about the grace of God, the goodness of God, and is he those things? Yeah, he's definitely a God of grace and he's good. But we rarely ever talk in the church today about the judgment and the wrath of God. So the Bible says that the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this generation. So here's what she's saying. Hey, when you come back, please take care of my peeps. Jesus is coming back, and you got to make sure that you're covered. You got to be covered. And so, well, how do we know if we're covered? Well, look in the text, verse 17. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this in the window through which you let us down, unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, the blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. Verse 20, but if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. She said, let it be so as you sow. So she sent them away and they departed and she tied the, look this way. She tied the scarlet cord. So check it out, ready? The same thing that was true of Rahab was, remember the story in the book of Exodus? Remember the last plague after the flies and the locusts and all that stuff, right? The last one was the death angel was going to pass by. So if you didn't have the blood over the doorpost of your house, then your entire family would be dead. But if you would paint the blood over the doorpost, then your family would be spared. The same thing that was true of the Israelites in the book of Exodus, it's a scarlet cord. So the spies said, hey, we come back, there's going to be judgment. And we're going to take down all the walls of Jericho. But if you will, it's interesting, if you'll hang the scarlet thread, rope, cord outside of your window, then you and your entire family will be saved. It's really interesting where the spies told her to hang it from, by the way. I want you to hang it from the window. Ready? So everybody could see. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Say, hey, Rahab, go public. Go public with your faith. Let your whole town, all your neighbors, all your friends know that you're sold out to Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. I think we have too many Secret Service Christians. Too many covert operatives. Like people that you work with, they have no idea that you're a Christian. That's a sad testimony. Because you talk the same, you same dirty jokes, you're like, no, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I don't have, if I two friends, it's cool. I just need two. I don't need the whole office, workplace. I don't need all the whole football team to be cool with me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So, hey, let the scarlet cord out the window for all to see that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So, ready? Here's the sweeping promise. The gospel is for everyone. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever, raise your hand if you're a whosoever, I am, right? Male, female, old, young, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. The gospel is for everyone. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish. Remember all the old people, 50 and over, remember that song? Tony Orlando and Dawn. Tie a little ribbon around the old. Okay, but you just proved how old you were. But not a yellow ribbon around an oak tree, but tie the scarlet thread from your window. So, like, what does this represent? Ready? The scarlet cord is the blood of Jesus. I think we don't preach enough about the blood. I don't think we write enough books about the blood of Jesus. I don't think there's enough songs about the blood of Jesus. How many grew up in the church, like church? And so I got saved at a church like ours, and then, so it was more contemporary. We never really did any hymns. Then I went to Bible college, and I started going to this other church, and they started doing a lot of hymns. I didn't really like hymns initially, and then I fell in love with hymns. Because some of the hymns, they talk about the blood of Jesus. What can wash away? Can't hear you? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing it out. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Such a, what powerful, powerful lyrics. Nothing but the blood. Love it. So, this is interesting. So remember Joshua 6, all the walls come tumbling down, right? But not all the walls. I never knew this. I always said, all the walls come tumbling. No. Not all the walls. Yeah. 7 days they walked around the walls and then they all came. No, they didn't all come tumbling down. Remember? Because verse 15 says that Rahab's house was actually embedded into the walls. All the walls came down except this one little splice of property. So God caused all the walls to come down, but because she had the scarlet cord hanging from her house was saved. I could preach a whole sermon right there. I don't have time to do that right there. But listen, because of the scarlet cord, she was covered from the judgment of God. So awesome. Shameful past. Shameful past. So, ready? Joshua 2. It's all about Rahab the prostitute. Matthew 1, Rahab the prostitute. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. And don't you remember, Rahab the prostitute. Then James chimes in. Wants to talk about Rahab the prostitute. In James chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible says, in the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. Joshua 2, Rahab the prostitute. Matthew 1, Rahab the prostitute. Hebrews 11, wasn't Rahab the prostitute. James chapter 2, verse 25, and Rahab the prostitute. Why do we keep calling her Rahab the prostitute? To remind us that the gospel's for everyone. Anybody making plans to go to heaven? It's gonna be amazing. You better raise your hand right now. There's only one other alternative, okay? Get your hand up right now in Jesus' name. So I guess, is it a legend or something? Peter's always at the pearly gates or something. I just see Peter up there with his iPad and you're like, hey, what if we went tonight, by the way, if we went to heaven tonight? You're like, no, I want to get married first. You have no idea how awesome heaven is. You wouldn't be saying, I want to go to Hawaii first, okay? Hawaii ain't jack compared to heaven. Anyhow, let's say we all went there tonight. I would want to get like, hey, Peter, I was just preaching on Hebrews 11. I'd love to meet some of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. Can I meet like Abraham? Oh, actually, hold on, let me check. No, it's like a 6-hour wait to see Abraham. It's like It's a Small World on a Saturday at Disneyland. 6 hours. So I'd be like, honey, can you hold my place in line? I love Joseph. Did that guy, Genesis 37 to 50, it's just like everything goes wrong, and at the very end, he just keeps honoring God. It's like, hey, Peter, can I see Joseph? No, he's like 10 hours, man. He's like totally booked. I mean, Jesus has got like his lines like a two-year wait. Yeah, I'll just pull a ticket. You're like 15,782,500. So Joseph's booked. Paul, he's probably got like 3-day wait to see the Apostle Paul. You're like going through all of Hebrews. You're like, how about Samuel? No, booked. I'd be like, hey, can I see Rahab? He's like, did you say Rahab the prostitute? Because, you know, like Peter's really loud. You're like, shh, shh. Yeah. Hold on. Who'd you say? Rahab the prostitute. Hold on, let me check. JKLMMNNOOPPQQRR. How do you spell it? R. Yeah, we have a Rahab. But we don't have Rahab the prostitute. I just wonder if Peter would say, because up here we don't call people by what they did. Up here we don't call people by what they said. Up here we don't take into mind people's past. Up here, I forgot. Her name is not Rahab the prostitute. Now we've actually changed her name. Her name is Rahab the righteous. Because up here we call people who they are, not who they were. We call people who they are, not what they did. We call people who they are, not what they said. So Rahab the prostitute, I have no idea who you're talking about, but I do know Rahab the righteous. Everybody, would you stand to your feet right now? Come on, let's give God some praise. I am not who I was. I am not what I did. I am not what I said. I am not who I used to hang out with. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So check it out. I guess part of the sermon is just to convince you and I that there's been labels over our life. People look at you and, yeah, I know. Yeah. You're the divorce guy. You're the guy that, and we have labels, right? Let me just say this. Some of the labels, by the way, that people have called us were actually true. You were a convict. You were an addict. You were divorced. Hey, that might be true, but check this out. The truth of the Word of God and what God says about me is it supersedes anything that might be true about me. That's the gospel. So anytime you are feeling down and low, anytime you're feeling really insecure or weak, anytime you feel like, man, I don't know if I got it, I don't deserve it, remember Rahab the prostitute who is now called Rahab the righteous. Here it is. If God can save her, God can save me. If God can use her, God can save me. Come on, let's put our hands together and give God some praise. Thank you, Lord. So the Lord told me, I forgot to say this in the first service, the Lord told me to tell you, if you're feeling insecure, you're feeling down, you're feeling discouraged, you're feeling depressed, just remember the blood. Just remember the blood. Hey, tie the scarlet cord. It's not about what you did or didn't do. It's not about what people say about you. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ. Lose the label. Lose the label. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. God, we're not what people said about us. We're not our past says about us. We're not our mistakes. We're not our failures. We're not our faults. God, we are who you say that we are. We are not forsaken. We're a son of the Most High God. We're a daughter of the Most High God. Listen, we are who you say that we are. I am who you say that I am. Come on, let's declare that. I am who you say that I am. I am who you say that I am. Let's give God praise for this hour. Hey, I'm Steve Abraham, the pastor of New Life Oxnard. Thank you for watching our YouTube channel. You can join us live every Sunday for a new sermon and live worship. Also, be sure to take a minute to subscribe and turn on your post notifications so you don't miss any of our new videos or live streams, and please share with a friend. And if you would like to partner with us in furthering the gospel, please click the link below. Don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for watching, and God bless you.